शांति 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 हम इस
Good afternoon.
I welcome you with all my heart. All of my heart, not a piece of it. It is good to see you once again. As most of you know, I receive many phone calls. One of the questions I'm frequently asked is about the world. People can't understand when I say the world is false. We'll discuss this for a little bit. The world as it appears is false. But the world as Brahman, as the absolute reality, is real. What does this mean? It means that if you just look at the world as a world, it has no substance, no validity. It changes continuously. It's never the same. It has no substratum, no foundation. How can anything that keeps changing, changing, changing be real? But when one understands Brahman, which means absolute reality, Brahman is the substratum, the foundation. And the images of the world appear in Brahman. So we say Brahman is the world. And if you look at it that way, then the world is real. As an example, if you go to a movie and there's no screen, the projectionist shows the movie without a screen, what will you get? Totally distorted images, chaos, confusion. Will not be able to understand anything you see. But then if somebody puts the screen up and the images go on the screen, you forget all about the screen. But the images are now filling up the screen in clarity, and you believe that the images are real. Either if you get up and try to grab the image, you'll grab the screen. And so it is with the world. Brahman is the screen. All-pervading Brahman, the absolute reality, is the screen. It is invisible to most of us. We can't see it. All of the images that you do see are only here because the screen is here. But like the images that have taken over the screen totally and completely, the average person is enmeshed in the materiality, in the relative world, and can only believe and see the relative world. But the Yani, the sage, the person who has tasted a bit of enlightenment, knows and understands that everything is Brahman. Everything is the absolute reality. Someone may say, well, if I grab someone, if I grab you, I'm actually holding on to someone. We're in the movie. If you grab the screen, you know the images are on the screen. But yet when I grab someone, I still grab them. When I grab the screen, oh Brahman. This is what you say. This is what you see. This is because in the delusion, you think you're grabbing something or somebody, you're doing some work, or you're the doer, or you're the body, and you believe these are real for you. It's like a dream. In the dream you grab somebody also. But you can't say the dream is real because you wake up and the dream is not real. Therefore, all is Brahman. This is why it is written in scripture, the ground upon which I stand is holy ground. Because everything is Brahman, everything is God. Everything is the absolute reality. Now, scientifically, how do we prove this? We know that if we take anything on this earth, anything in this world, take the radio for instance, and we put it under an electronic microscope, we will see molecules. Molecules floating in space. The space is the glue that holds the world together. It holds the whole universe together. Or you can say the space is absolute reality, Brahman, pure awareness. This is the space between the molecules. And again, if we take an atomic microscope and put a molecule in the atomic microscope, we will see atoms. It takes millions of atoms to make a molecule. So you can imagine how small an atom is. Yet the atoms will be floating in space also. There will be space between the atoms, which is equivalent to the space between the planets. When you look at the world, you see the images. You don't look at the space, you forget about the space. The space is the screen. The space is Brahman. The space is the absolute reality. But we've been bound by our body to look at the image. We're interested in the image, the tree, the mountain, the person. We don't understand it's being held in space, like the planet. It's floating in space, like the atom. Nothing is as it appears to be. Nothing is as it appears to be. Everything is totally different than what you can believe or see or imagine. It's all different. If you think of yourself as composed of trillions and trillions of atoms, you'll see that you're in a state of flux. Nothing is solid. Nothing appears as it appears to be. Now here's another illustration of this. I'll tell you a story about it. A lady has been praying to God for quite a while. And she says, "Oh God, you are so huge and I am so little. Do you see things like I do? I bet you see things differently than the way I do." And God says, "Yes, my daughter, I see everything different than what you see." So then he asked God, "How does 100,000 years seem to you?" And God says, "My daughter, 100,000 years seems like a second to me." So the girl says, wow, far out. How does $10 million appear to you, God? And God says, $10 million, my daughter, appears to me like 10 cents. The lady thinks about this and she says, God, can you loan me a dime? And God says, yes, my daughter, in a second. When you believe that the world is real, when you believe things are real, your body is real, you have to have problems and you have to suffer. You have to. Simply because everything changes continuously. So you suffer because you're not holding on to what you want. Things come and go. Change is the only reality of this world. So the person has been kicked around by life a while. Who sees this world as a threat. Begins to consider that there must be something else. There must be something else. And starts to search for the truth. Unfortunately, most people who have things going good for them, who have things going their way because of karmic experiences, do not care to pursue spiritual life. Not everyone, but most people. It appears that when you have troubles that you start to search for spiritual life. This has always been true. Yet, everyone will go through problems. As long as they believe they're a body, they have to. You may be enjoying life when a catastrophe hits you. You may get hit by a car, by a train, hit by a flying saucer. Anything may happen to you. Then you'll become totally disillusioned. You will not know what to think. This is the reason why the smart person, the wise person, begins to pursue spiritual life even when things are going well. They do not wait when something goes wrong. They start to feel that life is more meaningful than they can ever imagine. And when they start to search within themselves, all of the answers are within themselves. Not without, not in the world. For remember, the world is not real as it appears. So when you search for something in the world, it will fool you. We want to search for reality. How do we do this? How to search for reality? We begin to search for reality by keeping quiet, by becoming still. By quieting the mind. By making our life simple. By not getting involved in too many things in this world. We begin to slow down our activities. So we have more time to be with ourselves. We look for moments of solitude when the TV isn't playing, or the radio is not playing, or the phone is not ringing, or you're not talking to friends or neighbors. You enjoy those moments more and more and more. And you find happiness in those moments. Real happiness. Happiness that comes from within, from reality. Not the happiness that's fleeting, that's here today and gone tomorrow. But true happiness. Which is everlasting. Unalloyed happiness. Which never changes. Because we can begin to search for these things, something in us, you can call it God's grace, may lead us to the right book, or to the right teacher, or to the right environment, where we will be able to go further. When we get to the point where nothing can disturb us any longer, where there's conflict in the family, problems at work, cataclysms in the world, we no longer react to these things. We just watch and we leave them alone. You acquire a feeling of invincibility. You're invincible. A feeling of being alive forever and ever. That nothing can ever hurt you or destroy you. You've always been, you'll always be. You sort of feel this. And from then on, you're always happy and peaceful, nothing will ever bother you again. But you have done this to yourself. Nobody can do it for you. I have summarized the whole thing for you, but actually you go through many experiences before you get to that state. You go through many doubts, apprehensions, suspicions. Many times in spiritual life you want to chuck the whole thing out and throw it away. You feel it's not working for you. You feel it's a lie, it doesn't exist, there's no spiritual life. Everyone's gone through this stage. It's called the dark night of the soul. When you feel like committing suicide, you feel so terrible. All the dark forces attack you from all directions. And you want to check it all up, throw it all away. Forget about it. But as you hold on to something within, the reality and spark of light, the darkness will ultimately leave you. And again you will find peace. Again you will find harmony. Then again something may happen to you. You may develop cancer, AIDS. You may have to go to bankruptcy. So again you say to yourself, if this is what spiritual life is all about, I don't want it at all. I don't need this. You say this because you don't realize what is happening. In order for you to grow and become your real self, all of the stuff that's been inside of you has to be totally transcended. All the stuff that's in us. And we have a lot of stuff in us. We're stuffed completely to the top. We're stuffed with images, beliefs, concepts, dogma, fears, doubts, suspicions. This is our stuffing. In order to empty yourself, it may appear as if you're getting worse. The fears multiply themselves. The doubts become more terrible than they've ever been before. This is the change that's coming into your life. In other words, if you want self-realization, you're going to give up everything. Everything you've been holding on to. Everything. I mean, give it up mentally. If things happen physically, you just don't react to it. But mentally you give up all the stuff that's been bothering you for all these years. You surrender everything to God. You empty yourself out completely. Totally. And again, you do this by not reacting to anything. Not allowing the world to get to you, to show you anything. You keep holding on and holding on. Holding on to nothing. Becoming nothing more and more. No longer worrying. And all of a sudden you see a light inside of you. The light brings you untold happiness and peace. The light grows steadily. The light's in your heart. The light of a thousand suns. You learn to surrender everything to this light. Give everything up to this light. You're no longer afraid. You are free. Many of you can feel this freedom now. How wonderful it feels. Another name for this freedom is stillness, quietness. Silence. As long as the mind is active and you're thinking and thinking, you can never understand the deep silence of freedom. But you learn not to think. Not to analyze anything or try to figure anything out. You are perfect just the way you are. You're no longer alone. You begin to feel the whole universe emanating out of you. Creation emanates out of your mind. All of creation that you see comes out of yourself. You'll discover that you are the creator. You are the self. The absolute reality. Nirvana, the ultimate oneness. Nothing else can exist for you. All is well. There are no mistakes. The world is Brahman, it has always been yourself. You are that. It's always been you. There never was a world and you. The universe, the world is inside of you. You are all pervading absolute reality. Everywhere present at the same time. You are I am. I am that I am. Let us practice the I Am meditation. Close your eyes and focus your attention on your breath. Become aware of your respiration. Become the witness of your breath. Breathe naturally and normally. Ask yourself, who is this witness? Who observes the breath? And the answer comes, I am. With your respiration, inhale, you say, I. Exhale, you say, am. Inhale, say I. Exhale, say am. With every breath, with every I am, feel yourself going deeper and deeper within. Allow your body to dissolve completely. Where only I am exists, nothing else. It is now time to play Stump the Guru. We have a box when you write a question down. And we'll see what happens.
Dear Robert, what kinds of things can a person do to be of service to you?
Be yourself and become enlightened. That's what you can do for me. Wake up. Awaken. You've been asleep long enough. Awaken and be free. That is the service you can do for me. Do it now. Next case.
Do you think it is important for your devotees to maintain a social life, group meditations with other devotees, or is being completely a loner and a devotee who sits in silence alone only in addition to working in one's career excellent?
Both are necessary. You can do both. There's a time to sit in silence by yourself, and there's a time to mix with others. There's a time to work, there's a time to play, there's a time for everything. But if you work on yourself and you begin to understand the truth about yourself, then you'll know what to do. Everything will be done that's supposed to be done. We will not become fanatics and think we have to sit by ourselves continuously and not talk to anybody. On the contrary, mix with people. Enjoy life. Do wonderful things. Find time to be by yourself also. Share with others. Help the homeless. Give of yourself. And forget about yourself at the same time. If you're living in the moment, like you're supposed to, if you're living spontaneously, everything will take care of itself. You'll know what to do. You'll do the right thing. But if you have to think about it, that means you have to go within more and get to the place where you're sure of yourself. There's nothing to think about. You become a very positive person. You just do things that are necessary to do without thinking about them. And you're living your life rightly, fully, completely. Good.
Dear Robert, I think I do the things you suggest. My mind gets cleaner and cleaner. I get closer and closer to being with the self, but never make it with awareness. How many incarnations did you have like this before it just happened?
Isn't that a question left over from last week? Never mind how many incarnations I've had.
There was plenty. Numerous.
To whom are incarnations? You always forget that. For whom is karma? For whom are incarnations?
Well,
Who has incarnations? The body. Therefore, if you know the body, how can you have incarnations? Think about that. So when a person becomes awakened, the first realization they have is that they were never a body. There never was a time when there was a body, so there's nobody to incarnate. Only the body incarnates. So to answer this correctly, I always was. There never was a time when I was not. And I will always be. Pure awareness, absolute reality, perfect freedom, total joy and bliss. This is the all-pervading Brahman. And this is your real nature and my real nature. We're all one. So nothing about being incarnated. Thinking of incarnation is like thinking of being in jail. You can say, when am I going to go back to jail? How many times were you in jail before? Incarnation is bondage. Bondage to this body that you believe is real. So remember, you have no body to be incarnated. Incarnation is for the ayani, for the ignorant one who believes in that stuff. Your belief is in the self, in absolute reality, in perfect freedom. This is who you are. Remember this.
From Thursday's talk, it seems to me that we must allow everything and everyone to evolve as it appears best on doing, including our own body. Hence, we may try to stop someone's behavior if we are consciously aware of our body's efforts in that direction. Hence, we can be aware of another's tendency and our own, which may agree or disagree and confront. Do I understand you right? It sounds okay to me.
Sounds okay to me too.
Dear Robert, sometimes after a very high experience in sitting in silence, I go out into world and watch myself get very angry over something. If we go very high, must we also go very low and balance out during this process of evolving?
Not really. There's nothing to balance. Balancing is a word for a human being who goes up and down all the time. If you do not react to the person, place, and thing, there will be nothing that you have to balance. It's only because you react to life's environment, life situations, life's experiences, that you think you have to balance yourself out. There's no one to be balanced. Be free, be yourself. Nothing of being balanced or unbalanced. It's better to be unbalanced than to be balanced. Because when you're unbalanced, you're living in a different world. When you're balanced, you're sort of normal. Status quo. E pluribus unum.
Hello.
Next question.
Is consciousness neutral, or is it only loving and nurturing, or can it be either positive or negative with no long-term goal?
When we're speaking of the ultimate reality, which is consciousness, it has no qualities. If it had qualities, it wouldn't be consciousness. We have qualities. We appear to have qualities. But consciousness is perfect awareness. Consciousness is that which is beyond qualities. There's no description for it. It's the absolute reality, the self. It is self-contained and is beyond qualities. So when you're experiencing consciousness, you're experiencing oneness, total oneness. Not two, but one. And that's total freedom and peace.
In a fight between two people, is consciousness affected or involved in any way?
In a fight between two people, your ignorance is involved. What does consciousness have to do with a fight? Consciousness is beyond all of these things. That's it, Robin. There are two hungry people on the couch. Remember that all is well and everything is unfolding as it should. There are no mistakes. Don't worry about the future or the past. Be yourself. Be happy. Rejoice. And that's all I have to say. Until we meet again, peace. Om Shanti. You're free to go forward.